Somebody give God a shout of praise in the house tonight. We worship your name, oh God. We give you praise, Jesus. What a privilege and an honor it is to be in the house of God, first of all. Anybody excited about being a part of the kingdom of God? About being called according to his purpose? I want to say that I appreciate Brother Reggie and these other guys that share the pulpit with us when the pastor's out of town and that do exhortation and announcements. And it's amazing to me, as I sat and listened to what he had to share a minute ago, the synergistic quality between what God spoke to me today and what Brother Reggie was talking about. I guess it's just the gifts of the Spirit. It's the self-same Spirit that works all in all. Anybody say amen? And I appreciate these guys and the work that they do. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be reading in Genesis chapter 37. Also want to say that I appreciate my pastor. They're not in town. He has taken some much needed time to go and spend with his family. And none of us are getting any younger, but I'm glad that he has a strong enough church and has enough faith in us to leave from time to time and be able to take care of business. What a wonderful leadership that we have in our lives. Are you thankful for having a pastor like you do and a pastor's wife who hears from God and shepherds us and loves us? We're going to be reading Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse 2. The Bible says, "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Verse 13. "And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it." If you love the Word of God and you're thankful for God's presence that you have felt already tonight, I want you to go ahead and give him some praise. And I want you, while you're praising him, to go ahead and pray that God would speak to our hearts tonight. Mighty God, we love you. We're so thankful for your goodness and your mercy, God. We're so thankful for your presence that we can feel already tonight, God. I pray that a spirit of prophecy would grip this house, God. That you would speak into the heart, the mind, the life, the spirit of someone tonight, God. I pray that your perfect will, come on, pray right now. I pray that your perfect will be done, oh God. Not by power or by might, God, but by your spirit, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated in the house of God. Ernest Hemingway penned the words, "The world breaks everyone. But some of us, afterward, become strong at the broken places." Everybody's been broken to some degree. Brother Godwin came once and preached a message, "We've all been dropped." And who can't relate to a message like that? He talked about Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, who at the news of his father and uncle's passing was dropped by his nurse and became lame on his feet. At some point along life's journey, somebody has mishandled every one of us. We've all been dropped. We all bear the scars of someone's mishandling. We've all been taken advantage of. Some piece of our heart, our spirit, our very soul has become fractured from misuse. Some fissure that at the time seemed, Sister Corey, irreparable. Some separation. Some mistrust. Some dysfunction. We've all been dropped. We've all been broken. There are those, I believe, tonight who have scars that run deep from experiences in your life that you just don't want to think about. Not to mention, speak about in a large group. You've been broken. You've been dropped. We live in a strange world. We live in a very strange world. Strange day. If you follow the news at all, you've heard about the events that happened at Penn State. And the incredible tragedy that those young boys are going to be living with for the rest of their life. Strange day. And I think that many people don't want to have this type of discussion. It's a whole lot easier to have a discussion in the theoretical. In the principle. But sometimes we need to pull back all of the things that we cover on top of our issues. The penetrating things, the ugly things sometimes that lurk beneath the surface. So many times, as ministry, people come to you and they want to deal with the symptoms. Sister Juanita, they want to deal with the symptoms. I need you to counsel my problems away. I need you to help me deal with the issues in my marriage. I need you to somehow work through these superficial things that are plaguing me. While guarding carefully the heart. While, like a wounded man, clutching desperately at the break. Help me deal with the pain, Sister Juanita. help me deal with the discomfort. Help me deal with the hurt. When there's something beneath the surface, beneath the skin, beneath the dermis and the epidermis, there's something very penetrating. We've got to get all the things you've piled on top of it off. And we've got to get to the heart of the issue. There's a break. You've been damaged. You've been dropped. You've been taken advantage of. So let's push the superficial conversation aside. And let's deal with the fact that everybody under the sound of my voice, if you really want to get to the nitty gritty, you've been broken. Somebody's taken advantage of you. In a group this size, there are probably some things that still haven't healed from long ago, that are still guarded as though some slight emotional bump might make you scream out with pain. Now, I may not be talking to everybody tonight, but the Holy Ghost came down so heavy in this place today in prayer. I wept and wept because I could feel the pain of somebody, what you're dealing with. I could feel the hurt and the mistrust. And you come to church and you try to act like everything is okay. And you like to smile everything away. But deep down in your spirit, there's something that's messing with you. There's something that's still broken. There's something that's still messed up. There's something that's still damaged. But I've come to tell you that there's a God in heaven that doesn't just want to cover up, but He wants to make you strong at the broken places. There is in the medical vernacular a term called osteocalcification. It is generally accepted that it is possible, after having had a break of a major bone in the body, that after extensive care and therapy, after having a skilled and knowledgeable physician meticulously care for the break, after allowing a therapist to come in and rework the tendons, ligaments, and joints, the areas around that impact, in proper time, the bone can become more dense, more compact, and stronger after the injury than at any point before it happened. I'm talking about strong at the broken places. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm so thankful that I can see in physical evidence a spiritual principle. Because I know there were some things in my spirit as a young man that I thought I would never get over. There were some things that I had deep inside of me. There were some insecurities that I had deep inside of me. There were some things that I felt that I thought, there's no way I can bring to pass the will, the plan, the purpose of God. But I am so thankful that I was able to get my life into the presence of God. And I'm so thankful that I found a prayer meeting on Tuesday night. And I'm so thankful that preachers and prophets came and laid their hands on me. And God helped me to become strong at the broken places. Come on, if you're thankful for that, go ahead and give Him some praise right now. I don't want to be a cripple for the rest of my life. I want God to make me strong at the broken places. I don't want to be handicapped. Oh, Jesus, help me. And what happens many times is in the church, you see people who get in these cyclical patterns. They do well. They go strong. They make valid attempts at serving God, being faithful to the house of God. And then they get caught in a rut. And the pattern behavior is because under the surface, where nobody can see, there are some tendencies. There are some wounds. There's some scar tissue that hasn't been properly dealt with. And I've watched it time and time again. And when the preaching starts to get like this, they squirm a little bit in the seat. Come on, we can shout. We can talk about the blessings of God, the favor of God, the goodness of God. But this is getting a little too uncomfortable. I've guarded that thing for a long time, preacher. I've kept that part of myself hidden away. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's still painful. It still hurts. So you get stuck in a rut. And it's the mercy and the grace of God, the right service or the right circumstance, that gets you back out of that rut. But I believe tonight in the Holy Ghost that God wants to uncover some things. I'm not talking about making anything public. But I'm talking about uncovering for you to see. And for God to see. We live in a strange day. The behaviors that are rampant in our world would have been bizarre 3 generations ago. And I'm afraid a lot of times in the church, stuff stays under the radar, under the surface. We don't have to deal with it. We don't have to talk about it. You've been hurt. You've been abused. You've been molested. You've been dropped. You've been broken. Mentally, physically, emotionally abused. But the Holy Ghost wants to come in this place tonight. The Spirit of God wants to come into this house tonight. God wants to change your reality tonight. God wants to touch you where you don't want to be touched. God wants to minister to you in a place that's deep below the surface, that penetrates down into the heart. Because what God has brought about for your life, He has brought about those events so that you could fulfill the destiny and the purpose that He has. So that you could become the man or woman that He wants you to be. So that you could walk in the calling of God. And I know you say, well, how in the world could God have orchestrated those things? Ask Joseph. He was a descendant, a downline descendant of Abraham. He was born into plenty. Into privilege. He had everything going on. He was the favorite of his father. And his brothers despised him. They sold him out because of his dreams. And he was thrown into a pit. You know what's amazing to me is that his oldest brother, Reuben, wanted to save him. He came back to the pit to look for him, and his brothers had already sold him. The Bible says that he rent his garment. Sometimes, and the conclusion is that he had no idea that his brother was going to vindicate his being put into the pit. He had no idea that his brother came back for him. And many times, while you're in the middle of the pit or you're being broken by the hand of God, you don't even get vindicated. You don't even know. You think you've been completely betrayed. You think you've been thrown by the wayside like so much refuse or garbage. And he never knew that his brother came back for him. In his mind, he was completely betrayed. He was left for dead. He had the coat of privilege ripped off of him, and the coat of a slave put on his body. And he walked away from his homeland, thinking never again to return. And something in that man snapped. Something in that man broke. My father, my mother, my family, betrayed, taken advantage of. For just a moment, can we all lift up our hands and love God and worship Him? Everybody in the house right now. Jesus. 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 Alavrokosita ayasi. Madolokosi abaha. Ma'am, you've been in a cycle for a long time. You can't figure out why you keep getting depressed again. You can't figure out why you keep getting despondent. You don't understand why you cry yourself to sleep sometimes. And you try to fix the problem with temporary solutions. A little pain medication on the side to ease the pain, to dull the throbbing, to dull. I'm here to tell you that God wants to do something penetrating in this place tonight. God wants to touch you at the broken place. God wants to touch you at the point of impact. He wants to touch you where they inflicted the pain, where they broke in and ravaged your mind. Come on, I should be past this already. I should have grown out of this already. You don't understand how it hurts sometimes, and you think you're going crazy. But when you're in one of those funks, people try to get close to you, and you jerk away because it hurts, because it hasn't healed. So you push people away and you get depressed and you cry out to God. God, I don't understand. What's wrong with me? Why do I feel like I'm going crazy, God? Why do I feel so cheap? Why do I feel so crazy? Because there's something deep down that's never come to the surface. That's never been exposed completely so that God can touch it. Somebody worship Him right now. Sir, are you in a rut right now? You're in the same place you've been before. And it's so easy when somebody's up preaching like this to think he's preaching to somebody else. But there's something you don't like to take out and show everybody. Because it's too painful. It's too dark. It's too weird. It's too ugly. And so it's festering. And you try to treat it topically. But what you're dealing with, sir, you can't treat on the surface. You've got to pour out your spirit before God. Because that infection, is going to get in the blood. It's going to impact your children. It's going to affect your home. It's going to affect your ministry. You've got to get it to the surface. You've got to let God touch it. You've got to let Him touch it tonight. God wants to make you strong because of the broken place. God wants to use that place of brokenness so that you can empathize with people who were in the same condition that you're in. Because your trial today is your testimony tomorrow. The thing that you're wrestling with tonight is the thing tomorrow that's going to make you an overcomer. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You're so afraid to make a commitment. So afraid of failure. So afraid of being exposed. So you withdraw. And you hide the wound. And you hide the scar. And you act like everything's all right. But on the inside, you're screaming. And every time somebody tries to get close to you, when you're in a funk, you pull away. Jesus. Salabrocusia tano si. I don't know if you realize it right now, but I'm wrestling against some things in the Holy Ghost. There's some things happening in the Spirit right now. There are some very, very old things and some spiritual strongholds that don't want to be overturned tonight. I need somebody to talk in tongues in the Holy Ghost. Somebody pray in the Spirit right now. So Joseph goes to Potiphar's house. And God blesses him. And I'm sure, like all of us would, Joseph thought, aha, at last, everything's going to kind of right itself. I'm going to be vindicated. All the wrongs are going to be righted. I'm going to be justified. Everybody's going to know what happened. And he's faithful and he's honorable. And the Bible says that Joseph served his father and he served his brethren and he served Potiphar and he served Pharaoh and he served the jailer. And he served the prisoners. Sister Corey, he was wounded, but he served. He was broken, But he served. He was injured. But he never stopped serving. And it wasn't long until Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And he's doing everything that he can to be right and to be upright and to be faithful and to be pleasing to God. And he tries to escape the seduction and leaves his garment in her hand as she was pulling on him. Once again, something snapped. Some wound. Some offense. Some slight. Falsely accused. You're going to prison. And if that happened today, I don't know what I would do. Would make you crazy, Brother Hagedorn. I'm trying to be faithful, God. I'm trying to do your bidding. I'm trying to do your will. And at every turn, some issue, something rises up. But the Bible says that he went to prison and he served. He served the jailer. He served the prisoners. And the whole while, he was being subjected to the hand of the great physician. He refused to let it contaminate his spirit. He refused to let it pull him down. I don't understand it, God. It doesn't make any sense. It's not my fault. I didn't choose to be raised in this fashion. I didn't choose to be brought up this way. I didn't choose to be taken advantage of. I didn't choose to have my innocence ripped away from me. It's not my fault. But I'm not gonna stop serving. And I have found, I have watched it happen. When people get in a funk, when they get in a rut, because there's something deep on the inside of them that's not dealt with, the first thing the enemy tries to convince them to do is to pull out a ministry. And there are all kinds of excuses why. Well, it's a season I'm going through. He never stopped serving. He was one of the greatest precursors of the Christ in the Old Testament, because he just kept serving. God, I'm broken. I'm broken. What else can I say? It hurts. It's painful. Sometimes I don't know how I keep my sanity in the middle of the breaking, but I just keep serving. And at some point, while serving the prisoners, while representing the kingdom of God properly, the word comes that Pharaoh had a dream, and there is no interpretation for the dream. And Joseph is called out. Talk about somebody with scars. Maybe nothing on the surface that you could see. But there was a lot of healing that happened in that man's life. He comes out, and at this point, he's thinking, what now? Please come to the music, Sister LaTiffany. He comes out, interprets the dream, is made the second in command to Pharaoh, and is in charge of overseeing a famine. And Joseph, even though he's not necessarily a patriarch in the sense of the other, his older brothers, like Esther, he was called to the kingdom for such a time. And because he was willing to allow God to heal the broken places, the betrayal, the hurt, the mistreatment, he was the preservation. He was the downline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because when Jacob sent his sons to Egypt to get food, he said, "Go to Egypt and find food, lest we die." Called to the kingdom for such a time, but broken, fractured, damaged by betrayal and spite and envy, dropped, taken advantage of. I don't know necessarily who I'm preaching to tonight, but God has a purpose for your life. And the reason that you keep recreating this pattern, this cycle, is because you haven't really allowed God to deal with the issue. It's not that people talked about your kids. It's not that you weren't handled fairly. It's that you haven't learned to trust. And you've looked for offense in every relationship to prove that you can't trust. You see, I really can't trust anybody. Do you see what they did? Do you see how they handled me? I can't trust anybody. But that's not the issue. The issue is not that superficial thing that you made bigger than it really was. The issue is deep down inside. Somebody broke you when you were vulnerable and impressionable. Somebody damaged you. So every relationship that you have, you've got your microscope out looking for an offense. And it's going to poison your kids, because they're still young and impressionable. But you're teaching them that this thing doesn't really work, that you can't trust the man of God. We've got to get all that stuff that you've piled on top out of the way. We've got to get to the issue. You've got to let God deal with what happened to you. And it's possible that because you allow this process of taking out the baggage to get to the issue, because you lay yourself bare in the presence of God, God can start the healing process. He can start that calcification. He can start bringing particles together so that there's not a fissure, a gap, an emptiness, a hollow place inside of your spirit. Or you could just chalk this up as an emotional message and walk out and keep recreating the cycle of bitterness and pain. If you're in the church, at some point, you've got to learn to trust. It's not an excuse about what happened to you. I'm not diminishing the pain. I'm not diminishing what you feel. But you've got to learn to trust. God wants to fix that. He wants to heal it. And if you allow it, if you allow this process, it'll be a testimony. You see, Joseph, one day your brothers are going to come knocking on the door. Mama, one day your babies are going to be hungry. They're going to need spiritual food. What kind of shape are you going to be in? Joseph had to endure this process. There was something very important and very crucial and very key that God was going to do in his life. Esther, you were called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You were called to raise those babies, trusting the church and trusting the man of God and trusting their Sunday school teachers and their quizzing coaches. You were called to the kingdom for this purpose. And when your brethren come emaciated and starving and needing a place of refuge, it will matter whether you endured this process. Jesus at Gethsemane. I don't want the pain. I don't want the cross. I don't want the fear. I don't want the pressure. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus, at the Last Supper, taking off the robe of a king and putting on the robe of a servant, and girding himself with a towel, with Peter, who was going to deny him, and Judas, who was going to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus, who was betrayed with a kiss. The God of all creation, who created the intimacy and the love that's communicated from person to person with a kiss. He said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Is this what you chose? A kiss? That Jesus on his knees with a towel, knowing what was coming.
Time. washing the feet of the one who would betray him with a kiss. I don't know what betrayal you have endured. But we've all been broken. We've all been dropped. So can you endure the process of God to allow a healing to happen in your life? I don't know what the future holds for you. I'm not privy to what the destiny or the calling of God is for your life. I don't know what your ministry is going to do. I don't know who you're going to reach. I don't know what kind of sermon you're going to preach or Sunday school lesson you're going to teach. I don't know what the future holds. God wants to make you strong in the broken places.
If you want to respond to God right now, the altar's open. If you want to just come and pray, if you want to just come and talk to Him tonight,
in the name of Jesus.
Come on, sir. Don't miss this opportunity to respond to God. I don't know what's coming down the road for you, but I know His presence came today in my time of prayer to talk to you, to tell you that He wants to make you strong, that He wants to heal you, that He wants to set you free. To pray with right now. We need to hear the voice of an intercessor in this house. Come on, somebody's destiny is on the line right now. Somebody's destiny is at stake tonight. The plan of God coming to fruition in your life right now. Lord, I am broken. Gilead in this place tonight. Come on, let the balm of God touch your heart right now. Come on, somebody, let the tears begin to fall. You're not alone. You haven't been left desolate. God's presence is here. He's here to heal. He's here to set free. He's here to deliver.
Strength is power. before God. You've got to learn to trust again. You've got to learn to believe again.